Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is portions of our epistle reading from Galatians, the 5th and 6th chapters. In Genesis chapter 3, which was our reading more than a couple weeks ago, after Cain had killed his brother, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Cain responded, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" By God's grace, we know the correct answer to Cain's question. Cain rejected the notion that he was his brother's keeper. He was hiding his sin of murder. But we who walk by the Spirit know that Christians don't live in a vacuum. No Christian is an island unto himself or herself. We know that life is difficult, filled with challenges, especially the challenges of being Christians in this world. There are many burdens to bear, including the burdens of sin and temptation. And we know that we need help. None of us can overcome the assaults of the devil on our own. We need forgiveness, we need rebuke, we need instruction, we need comfort, we need restoration, we need the encouragement of our fellow believers as a people who belong to Christ, who walk by the Spirit. We are indeed our brother's keeper, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to be God's mouthpiece of truth and honesty, of warning and rebuke, and of forgiveness and restoration for our fellow Christians who find themselves caught in sin. We are called Christians because we are of Christ. We belong to Him. Thus, we live by the Spirit, as Paul says, and we walk by the Spirit. And we embody the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit, and each and every Christian is endowed with such fruit. And as people who then walk by the Spirit, we are not only servants of Christ Jesus, but we are called to be servants of one another in Christian love. In our text today, Paul gives us a very good task to determine whether or not we are walking by the Spirit, living the life of servitude to God and to our fellow believers. This test has two parts. First, the spiritual person tries to restore his or her brother who is overcome by sin. And second, the spiritual person himself or herself lives a responsible life of repentance and faith towards God in Christ Jesus. Simply put then, the Apostle Paul admonishes all Christians to restore the weak and look after our own faith. Two things then that are natural to the Holy Spirit and to Christian fellowship. So this becomes a mutual bearing of burdens, what St. Paul calls fulfilling the love of Christ. I mean, the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It is simply this: love one another as I have loved you. That is what I call divine love. For such love comes from God. As God loves the sinner, so God calls each of us to love the sinner more than we love ourselves. Well, St. Paul writes, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Now, the Greek word for caught also means to overtake or to surprise. We must be all on our guard at all times, for we're all vulnerable to being caught or overcome or surprised by sin. Before Cain killed Abel, God warned him, "Sin is crouching at the door." But Cain didn't heed the warnings of the Lord, and sin caught him. What better way can we be our brother's keeper than to love a Christian brother or sister enough to restore him or her when they are caught in any transgression of God's law? That really is divine Christian love. That's how you put your love into action. If you saw a cat or dog injured by the side of the road, would you ignore the poor thing or would you get help for it? And if you saw a child running recklessly into the street, would you intervene or would you ignore the child? The thing is, when a brother or sister's soul is in jeopardy, we Christians tend to ignore him. If his body is in trouble, we're more than willing to buy him a dinner, take care of his bodily needs, but we tend to ignore a person when their soul is in jeopardy. But those who fulfill the law of Christ, who live in divine love and who walk by the Holy Spirit, know that they themselves could be so easily caught by sin and certainly would want to be rescued and restored. Thus, out of humility and love for souls, by the power of the Holy Spirit, our desire and our calling is to restore the erring brother in a spirit of gentleness. Yet there is among Christians a live and let live attitude, along with an attitude of who are we to judge? Isn't it rather hypocritical to point out someone else's sin? Well, both attitudes are contrary to divine love, wouldn't you say? Could you imagine if God looked upon you caught in sin and said, ah, just let him be. Live and let live. You see, both these attitudes act as if hell isn't real and that sin isn't really a problem. God won't condemn anyone to hell, right? But if that's the case, then Jesus himself is a false teacher. For Jesus himself said many times that the unrepentant sinner will be subject to God's wrath and condemnation. Since sin and hell are real and dangerous, divine love seeks to rescue the sinner from the dangers of sin and not leave him to suffer in his sin and to face the wrath of God. But divine love doesn't judge in order to condemn. That's what the Pharisees did. In their arrogance and their pride, they were happy they were not like other sinners. But divine love desires to reveal sin in order to save the one caught in sin. When you seek to restore a fellow Christian caught in sin, you aren't judging him. You are proclaiming God's law to him. You are God's mouthpiece. You are allowing God to reveal sin so that as God's mouthpiece, you allow God to restore him and forgive him. You see, it's God's word that defines what sin is and calls us to repent. And it is God's word that forgives and restores the sinning, the erring brother. But it is you who bear that word of God. It is you that are called to love the sinner. But ask yourselves this question. If you are caught in sin, and there are so many ways in this day and age in which sin can catch us, internet porn is rampant, vices all over the place, society's general love of sensuality and love of rebellion against authority. There are so many ways that the culture can capture us in sin. If you are caught in sin, would you not want to be restored? Would you not want someone to rescue you? I hope the answer is yes, but for many Christians, it's no. Leave me alone, and if you don't leave me alone, I'll just leave the church. Well, if you're tempted to answer no to that question, if you think that you can live as an island on your own as a Christian, understand that it's the sinful nature that wants the answer to be no. The sinful nature loves living. And to repent is to kill it. It hates to die. And human beings have an amazing capacity of self-deception. We lie to ourselves all the time. We need someone to tell us the truth. We try to justify sin in any way we can, and in thus doing, we sear our consciences against the Holy Spirit's call to repent, so that we don't have to listen to the Holy Spirit anymore. That's why it takes a brother or sister in the faith to have the love we needed to take on our sinful natures and restore us. And that's where the new man in you delights. For that new man, that gift of God and baptism that brings you into God's kingdom, makes you part of Christ's family, that new man rejoices and delights in the restoration that God works through fellow Christians. We have to remember that because we have this old Adam too, and we know our own struggle against sin, and we know our own resistance to be restored when we sin. We have to understand that we're dealing with the same old Adam in others. And so we have to be careful when the need arises, when it comes to restoring an erring brother or sister in Christ. St. Paul says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. When restoring a brother or sister who is caught in sin, we must be careful to think that we're not somehow better than that other person. We must avoid the temptation to arrogance and pride that comes with this responsibility. To do so destroys Christian love. Many years ago, there was an elder who was quite faithful in visiting the members of his congregation. The problem is when he would visit them, if they hadn't been in church for a couple weeks, he would simply announce, "If you don't come to church, you're going to hell." And they wouldn't come to church at all then. Because that's how the law works. It works wrath. His arrogance, his pride was something that undermined his love. We have to remember then that we're all sinners. Whether we're here in church or not. And we all live under the umbrella of God's grace. Not one of us is better than anyone else. And so we must be careful that we do not judge a person's heart to condemn them ourselves. That's the kind of judging that Jesus condemns. Remember, even to a sinful congregation like Corinth, or to the Galatian Christians who were departing from the true teachings of Scripture, Paul still called them brothers. He still called them saints. It is only an arrogant, prideful, conceited heart that fails to look upon one's own sin and humility as it delights in pointing out others. Such a heart doesn't desire to save. It desires to condemn. You cannot make someone taller by you cannot make someone smaller by making yourself, I can't even say it right today. You can't make yourself taller by making someone else smaller. To be our brother's keeper requires a spirit of humility. Because we can easily become caught in the sin of pride. We have to remember that we are merely instruments of the Holy Spirit. We are merely the ones that God uses to seek and to save the lost brother and restore him to his life with God. Well, to be our brother's keeper not only requires divine love, compassion, and humility, it also requires courage. Because we must not put our temporal, earthly relationships ahead of other people's souls. We must not be afraid to speak the truth because we might lose a friend, or we might have a relationship broken with a family member. The courage we need then is to be willing to suffer the loss of a friend, the anger of a relative, as we desire to save their soul. And it takes courage to speak against the prevailing winds of such a depraved culture of ours, filled with vice and immorality, where evil is good and good is evil. It takes courage to be that voice of Christian truth and love that our fellow believers need to hear. So we pray for that courage, and we pray for that divine love and humility, so that we all can indeed be, when necessary, our brother's keeper. But Paul continues by saying, let each one of us test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. The burden that each of us bears is that of self-examination, to honestly take a look at our lives according to the Word of God. In so doing, we know that we're going to find many sins and shortcomings, which will undermine any desire to boast or any feelings of self-righteousness. By doing this, we don't have to depend upon our brothers and sisters in Christ to rebuke us and restore us, for we have done the same to ourselves. And by so doing, we live lives of faith and repentance. Yet another burden that we bear as believers is to live as God's people in this sinful world. And to help us, God has gathered us into flocks, flocks that we call Christian congregations. So here we can have mutual help and encouragement and love and help in bearing our loads, our burdens, in this sinful world. We'll find that the courage that we need and the love that we need to be our brother's keeper is found right here in the Christian congregation, where our fellow believers love us, encourage us, and pray for us in our tasks to be our brother's keeper. And finally, our burden includes carrying the gospel to our friends and neighbors. And we do so knowing the promises of God, that as the Holy Spirit works through us to see another soul repent and believe in Jesus, will bring great joy not only to heaven, but to us. But we only can be burden bearers if someone is helping bear those burdens. And that person is Christ Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Place your burden on Jesus. For his shoulders are broad and strong. The greatest burden that we all have is sin and the facing of God's wrath for sin. But Jesus has taken that burden. He has taken that burden on himself on the cross. And there in forgiveness, he has freed you from such burden and gives you joy and peace. And out of his great love for you, Jesus gives you love. Love for others. Out of his great love for you, Jesus gives you his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit empowers you to be your brother's keeper. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.